ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Let's do a little bit of this Ghetto Boys, man.
In the Fifth Ward, in the South Park, in the Bronx, in the Watts. You know they got crooked cops working for the system, making poor motherfuckers out of victims. Cause don't nobody give a fuck about the poor. It's double jeopardy if you're black or Latino. They got their motherfucking drugs in the slums. Got us killing one another over crumbs. Think I'm lying? Well, motherfucker, I got proof. Name a section in your city where minorities group. And I'ma show you prostitutes, dope, and hard times. And a murder rate that never declines. And little babies sitting on the porch smelling smelly. Crying cause they ain't got food in their bellies. They call my neighborhood a
trouble. Yeah, man. What's going on with you? Again, this is episode 118 of the Span Report, man. It's been a week since the last time I talked to y'all. Hope everybody's good. Hope everybody's well, man. Hope everybody got their wits about them, because it's been a tough-ass fucking week, man. Real talk. But let me let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man, before I get started with everything, right? You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485, right? Leave me those voicemail messages, and of course I'll play those voicemails here on the show and respond in kind, right? You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails, and of course, I'll read those emails live here on the show as well. You can also watch this show live on Facebook. Go ahead, like the Mr. Span fan page. Watch these shows live as they happen. You can talk with everybody else in the chat room, man. You can interact with me while I'm doing this. Go ahead and like the Mr. Span fan page right there on Facebook, and you can watch these shows live every week, every Saturday when we do these, right? Also, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr. Span. That's Mr. Span on Twitter and Instagram. right? Twitter and Instagram, Mr_Span. Follow me there. Chop it up with me throughout the week, man. We can talk about pretty much whatever, right? So go ahead and do that, man. Also, for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to thespanreport.com. That's www.thespanreport.com. Watch these videos later, the replays on thespanreport.com. You can also check out some of the videos that I also use for, You can also check out some of the videos that I use for the show. Check those out at thespanreport.com. You go ahead and like, you can vote in the polls. You can donate at thespanreport.com to help keep this ball rolling because it costs money to do these podcasts, right? So go ahead, go to thespanreport.com for all of your Span Report needs, man. Real talk, man. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot going on, man. A lot going on over the course of this week, man. Real talk. I kind of wanted to start it off a bit light, right? I got to start it off light because it's been a real tough week. It's been a real tough week, man, to watch what's been going on in the news, man, to see these things happen over and over again. We talk about Alton Sterling and I'm forgetting his brother's name right now, Philando Castile, to see what's going on with those guys, man, and to see what also happened in Dallas with the shootings of those police officers in Dallas, man. It's been some real trying times here in the country, right? So, of course, we will speak to that a little later on in the show, man. But we got some other stuff to talk about, man. We got to talk about the 4th of July, man. We got to talk about this NBA free agency, man. We got to talk about some of these unpopular black opinions your man Span got, right? We got to lighten the mood somewhat before we get into some of that heavy shit, right? So, yeah, let's get off into that, man. Now, of course, I got some thoughts over the last, you know, of the stuff that's happened over the last week or so, right? And we're going to start off with the whole 4th of July thing, right? Now, I'm quite sure this time last year, I probably did something very similar this time last year with the fireworks and the 4th of July, right? I'm going to need y'all niggas to wrap it up, B. real talk. I'm going to need y'all to wrap it up, like, it is now July the 9th. It is no longer the 4th of July. We are 5 days past the 4th of July, and you still got motherfuckers out here lighting fireworks, yo. What's wrong with y'all? What's wrong with y'all? Like, could y'all just save them motherfuckers for, like, next year's 4th of July celebration that you have at your house, and you can have, like, this big-ass fireworks extravaganza or grand finale or whatever? Could y'all do that? You know, y'all, you really could. You really, really, really could do that. Like, there's nothing stopping you from doing your little fireworks celebration on the 4th. Or I'd even better yet. You want to celebrate Jesus' birthday, like in the wintertime? Ain't no ordinance of saying that you can, like, not light fireworks around that time. Now, mind you, it might be a little hard because it's snow and stuff and it's wet and everything else. But, yo, y'all need to wrap it up, B. Like, real talk. Like, last night, me and my wife were sitting up here. We were watching television, man, and, like, the fireworks were going off. And I'm trying to figure out, like, yo, it ain't the 4th no more. It's somebody shooting, right? Excuse the hood in me, right? Excuse the hood in me. Like, that's just what it was. Like, you heard stuff like that in the neighborhood, you would think that somebody was shooting. So every time the 4th of July came around, you know, after a while, you start not knowing whether or not there's somebody just lighting, you know, lighting firecrackers, or whether or not somebody's lighting an M80, or whether or not somebody is busting at somebody else. You just never know. And, like, you start seeing signs and stuff, you know, for people were talking about being wary of setting off the PTSD for a lot of veterans, and rightfully so, man. But you got a lot of hood veterans too, bro. You got a lot of hood veterans that's dealing with that shit too. Like, the whole lighting of the fireworks 5, 6, 7 days after the 4th of July, after a while it gets kind of played, man. Y'all the reason why we can't have nice shit. Wrap it up, B. Wrap it up. And yeah, man, that happened. Not only that, I guess I can say I've been a little bit irritated much more lately because of the weather here in Michigan, especially here in the Detroit area, right? Because it's been kind of hot. It's been real hot here, man. Like, even around the 4th of July, they were saying that, they were saying that there were a lot of places where you couldn't actually light your fireworks because of the drought that we're having here, right? We haven't been getting enough rain in this area, and so, like, a lot of grassy areas were, like, you know, really dry, and they didn't want to set off any fires or anything else. So this heat has been, like, maddening, right? And I work outside, man, and here's the thing, like,
by working outside, I get it all day long, right? Like, my arms, like, my forearms or whatever, like, they're darker than the rest of my body. I got, like, a two-tone, I got two-tone actions going on right here. I'm light-skinned underneath here, and I'm, like, a little chocolate brown going on the forearms and on the back of my neck. It's, like, it's really not a good look. It's really not a good look. But, you know, I'm working outside or whatnot, right? And so, while I'm outside, man, it's like, yo, it's almost like when I'm down in New Orleans. Like, the heat be leaning on the nigga. Just be leaning on me, right? Like, yo, what's up, dog? How you doing, right? So, that's going on. And I always end up coming home smelling like a foot. Smelling like a foot. And I'm delicious to these damn insects now, because now it's like, you know, mosquitoes are starting to come out and everything else. So now these bugs are starting to fuck with me. And I feel sticky. I feel icky. And I'm going in these basements. Some of these basements aren't the best. So, yeah, it's been like my fuse has been a bit short. A fuse has been a bit short over these last few weeks, man, when it comes to this weather. And so maybe that has something to do with my hatred of you motherfuckers with these fireworks. Y'all gonna have to forgive me, right? Y'all gonna have to forgive your boy, man, real talk. But, yeah, man, that happened, right? And so, yeah, we're gonna get into something else, though. Like, we're gonna go into our unpopular black opinions. Uh-oh, let's try that again. Yeah, unpopular black opinions, man. Now, we've been doing this the last few weeks, man, where I share some of my unpopular black opinions, things that I think about, things that may be exclusive to me and only me, and I don't expect my people to necessarily agree with me on these things, but these are things that I think about, right? And so last week, I had like four unpopular black opinions for y'all, and I know some of y'all were ready to pull my black card in, right? I understand that. I acknowledge that. I know that's what it was, right? So I got two more. I got two more for y'all that I want to share. And I want to get this out in the open and let anybody else know, if they're feeling this way too, that it's okay. It is perfectly okay, right? So here's one of them right now, man. I will let it be known that growing up, I have never really been all that enamored with the group Earth, Wind, and Fire. I'm sorry. I haven't been like that deep into the whole Earth, Wind, and Fire thing. Now, I went to a black college and everything, right? I'm aware of the music. I know that they play them, like they do tributes and shit to them on the BET Awards and whatnot and all of that, right? I've never really been into Earth, Wind, and Fire that way. Not the way I'm into, like, say, the Isley Brothers or the OJs or you know, Jackson 5 or Frankie Beverly and May. Like, out of all of those groups, man, like, yo, like, if I had to pick one, Earth, Wind, and Fire would be like getting the boot, right? And I know that's like blasphemy in a lot of black circles, man. Like, what the fuck is wrong with this nigga? And I know right now, y'all ready to pull that card. Y'all are so ready to pull that black card away from me. But you can't do it. You can't do it, man. I am just as black as you. Just have a little bit different opinion on the Earth, Wind, and Fire. I ain't really feeling them like that. Sorry. Not really feeling them like that. Now, I got another one. I got another one, man. I got another unpopular black opinion, right? I prefer Hellman's Real Mayonnaise over Miracle Whip. Shocking, I know, right? Now, hear me out, though. When you ask for mayonnaise on your sandwich, you ask for mayonnaise on your sandwich. A lot of y'all ask for mayonnaise and be mean to Miracle Whip, and Miracle Whip is a salad dressing. And I get it, it's got its tangy zip and all of that stuff, but I actually like the egg taste, sorry, that I get out of real mayonnaise, man. And I like a lot of mayonnaise on my sandwich. My sandwiches be so sloppy, right? I remember my wife made me a sandwich once, and she was like, what's wrong with the sandwich? And I was like, nah, you know, you could put, you know, a little bit more mayonnaise. Like, I know I like my mayonnaise a little bit more than a lot of other folks, man. And real talk, whether y'all know it or not, a lot of places when y'all ask for mayonnaise on y'all sandwich, that's what y'all getting. Y'all ain't know it. Y'all asking for Miracle Whip, and it's really real mayonnaise. So, yeah, man, I fucks with the real mayonnaise. I fucks with the real mayonnaise. Better yet, another thing too, as a black man who eats steaks, I don't like my steaks well done.
I don't know what's wrong with y'all on this one, right? Growing up, man, my mama used to always order my food when we were kids, and she would get me a steak, and it would be well done, and it would be like hard to chew, right? We used to go to this place in Detroit, man, called Flamin' Embers. I know a lot of my Detroit people may remember Flamin' Embers. It used to be right there on Grand River where the Northwest Theater used to be, all that stuff. Now they got a Popeye sitting there. Ain't no movie theater there at all. It's a Bank of America. I know. Fucked up the whole thing, right? But we used to get our steaks well done. And then it took for me to get older to realize, like, I got a choice in this. Like, I don't have to keep ordering my steaks well done. I got a choice in this matter. So I start venturing off a little bit, right? Oh, give it to me medium well, you know, and then I'll go medium sometimes, depending on the cut of the meat. Another thing, too, I refuse. If it's a good steak, putting A1 sauce on that steak is kind of blasphemy, man. It's kind of blasphemy. A lot of y'all eat y'all steaks well done, burnt. Then y'all slather it with the A1 sauce, and then y'all think it's a good steak. The steak is supposed to be good by itself. You ain't supposed to need to put shit on it, right? But that's me. And those are some of my unpopular black opinions, man. Real talk. Yeah, man. Yeah. Now, we got some more basketball shit to talk about right now. Of course, you guys know Kevin Durant left the Oklahoma City Thunder. See, Kevin Durant left the Oklahoma City Thunder this past week, man, and motherfuckers lost their minds, right? Everybody lost their minds. So, you know, one of the things that I thought was real interesting about the whole Kevin Durant leaving for Golden State was the arguments that folks were starting to set up around this whole thing, right? You know, one of the arguments was, he was weak for going to a team that he couldn't beat, right? Now, I want y'all to think about this for a minute, man. And I've said this over the course of the week. When it comes to, like, say, for instance, yourself, if you are able in your place of employment to put yourself in a better position for you, wouldn't you take that opportunity? 9 times out of 10, y'all would, right? You get offered a promotion at your job and they offering more money. It could be $2. I said $5 this week. It could be $2 more an hour. And you like, shit, hell yeah. You would be gone, right? This dude took an opportunity to go to a place where he could win a championship. Now, the money isn't so much a big a deal for him, because even though he can get the money, it's like, you know, $50 million, $60 million. Like, he only going to spend so much of it, right? So he's looking at it as an opportunity to get a better position to win a championship. He wants a championship. What better way to get a championship than to go to a team who's stacked, loaded, and ready to go and can win a championship and was actually within 4 minutes of winning a championship had they not been met with a buzzsaw that was LeBron James and Kyrie Irving in those last 4 minutes of the NBA Finals, right? So he puts himself in a position to win a championship. Now, is it winning a championship guaranteed? Absolutely not. But he's got one of the best shots of anybody in the league to win a championship, right? Now, another argument that came up with Kevin Durant going to the Golden State Warriors was loyalty, right? Everybody talks about loyalty when it comes to these NBA players. It's especially funny to listen to people talk about loyalty when it comes to NBA players and NFL players. And I'm going to tell y'all this. I'm a union guy, right? I work in a union occupation. I work in a union shop, right? So I am on the side of the workers 9 times out of 10. Pretty much, no, 9.9 times out of 10, I'm pretty much on the side of the workers, right? You have to look at it like this. The NBA and their teams are the company, right? The players are the workers, right? The players don't necessarily have to exercise loyalty to these companies when those companies aren't going to exercise that same amount of loyalty. You look at how many players, like say the NFL, for instance, you look at how many players are waived, not re-signed, have their contracts restructured, have their salaries cut, or they're just cut from the team and their money isn't guaranteed at all. They're just asked out. You look at how often the NFL just interchanges guys and the machine keeps rolling. So a lot of these players, they have a very small window to make their money, to win their championships or whatever, because their career isn't infinite. There's a very finite amount of time these guys have to get this money in and get these championships, right? So they have to put themselves in a position to do what's best for them and their family. To say that they aren't showing any loyalty to these teams when these teams would get rid of them the second they become unserviceable is a bit stupid to me. It's a bit stupid to me. So I'm looking at Kevin Durant. People are talking about, well, he wasn't loyal to Oklahoma City. It's like, shit. So? If you had the opportunity to move to a better position for you and your family, you would do the exact same thing. I got into an argument with one of my coworkers, man. And this is another thing, too. I should have said this. Never get into a basketball debate at work with your older black coworkers, right? Never do that. That is one of the most headache-inducing things you will ever do in the history of your life, is to get into a basketball argument with some of your older black man coworkers, right? Because a lot of older black men, or just basketball fans, period. I'm not going to put this on the older brothers, right? But a lot of basketball fans, they tend to treat basketball almost like, you know, old heads treat hip-hop, right? You know how hip-hop heads always think the shit that they grew up on was the greatest era of hip-hop? So if you came up in the 90s, a lot of your people that came up in the 90s, like, the 90s was the greatest era of hip-hop. You look at a lot of people who came up during the 80s, and they'll tell you about the greatness that was Run DMC and Big Daddy Kane and others, man, lyrical beast, right, of their time. They'll tell you that was the best era of hip-hop. Right. So when it comes to basketball, you start seeing a lot of the same things, like, well, the 80s was the best era of hip hop. They used to let motherfuckers knock each other out. You know what I'm saying? Charles Barkley used to punch a nigga in his nuts, and they thought that was cool. Right. You look at the 90s and they'll say, well, what would Jordan do? Like, it's so funny to me. I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. I'm a Jordan basketball player fan. But it's getting real weird to listen to dudes talk about basketball and talk about what Michael Jordan would have done as if he's Jesus, and then say, well, these kids aren't as great because they aren't doing the same thing that Michael Jordan has done or would have done. Never mind the fact that he played in an era that was flat out different. The business was different. The way the game was played was different. The league isn't the same as it was when Michael Jordan was in his heyday. It just isn't, right? So when we talk about Michael Jordan wouldn't have left the Chicago Bulls, right? I had one of my listeners hit me up earlier this week and said, well, Span, if Michael Jordan had left the Bulls, you'd have been salty, right? I said, yeah, I would have been salty, but that ain't what he did, right? I would have been salty, but that's not what he did. And as a Bulls fan, I would have been salty. As a Bulls fan, the rest of you niggas, I don't know why y'all mad, right? Like, if he'd have left, like, why would y'all be mad? Like, I don't get it. Y'all don't have any rooting interest for the Bulls at all, so why would you be mad that Michael Jordan left the Bulls? Which is what's so funny about Kevin Durant leaving the Oklahoma City Thunder. All these people feigning that they mad don't give a fuck about the Oklahoma City Thunder. They just mad he didn't come to their team, right? He went to the Golden State Warriors, man. He took the easy route. He went to the Golden State Warriors, man. That's some bullshit. That's weak as hell. Nah, it's not weak. It's not weak. That man did what he thought was best for him basketball-wise. He did what he thought was best for him family-wise, financially. He made a basketball decision. He made a personal decision. You don't necessarily have to agree with it, but you do have to respect it. And you can't make or put certain conditions on these dudes because they play and make millions of dollars, right? Again, like, I go back into this whole principle of, if you were at your job and you could put yourself in a better position at your job, whether that be a promotion or whether that be a raise, you would do so. You fight for chances like that. A lot of people, everyday folks, talk about how they want to exert that kind of autonomy in their everyday lives, right? And I think that's what a lot of this boils down to. There's a lot of resentment at the fact that these kids, because a lot of these, you know, older folks, a lot of these young dudes have the authority, they have the autonomy to make big decisions in their lives. And that's it. Like, they have the power to make these decisions that a lot of us wish that we could, and we can't. And so we resent them for making these decisions for themselves. And it's weird to watch. It's weird to watch because these are principles and these are values that we don't necessarily ascribe to ourselves. We wouldn't necessarily ascribe these things to ourselves, but we will project that onto other people because we want to, I guess, connect to them or some, you know, some sort of way. We want to connect to these players. We want to feel as if these players are just like us and these players care about us and everything else. At the end of the day, man, these big time sports is a business. Shit's a business. And so once you realize that it's a business, you can look at it objectively and say, hey, man, all right, Golden State look like they got a stacked ass squad. It's going to be real interesting to see this season. Now, one thing I don't like about Kevin Durant going to the Golden State Warriors is that if you're going to play NBA 2K17 anytime this year, be prepared to play against the Golden State Warriors 98% of the time, right? The other 2% is going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers. If you play with anybody else other than those two teams, just be prepared to play against those two teams, right? And all you dudes who've been kicking your nephew's ass, who've been kicking your son's ass in the game, them little niggas are sitting at home like this, waiting on you, dog. Like Stevie J, like, nigga, it's on and popping, pops. I'm about to get in your ass, son. Right? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So, yeah, man, Kevin Durant going to the Golden State Warriors, man, I don't really have an issue with, right? But, you know, another thing, too, happened with that whole Kevin Durant thing. And I know I'm going on a little long with the Kevin Durant thing, but I think this is something that was very interesting that should be spoken to, right? So Kevin Durant makes the leap to the Golden State Warriors, and Stephen A. Smith decides that he went on Facebook Live, he went on his radio show, and he went on ESPN to talk about how bad a decision it was for Kevin Durant to go to the But he talked about how bad of a decision it was for Kevin Durant to go to the Golden State Warriors, how weak a decision it was. And he made himself a part of this story in a way that he really shouldn't have, right? So let's listen to this asshat go on and on about Kevin Durant making the worst decision of his professional life. Uh-oh.
Let's turn this up. You're not happy there. You want to move on and you want to grow as a player. All, you know, there's nothing wrong.
How are you viewing this move from Durant?
Well, I'm viewing it as the weakest move I've ever seen from a superstar. Plain and simple. That's just how I look at it. It's not that he's leaving Oklahoma City. If you're not happy there and you want to move on and you want to grow as a player, there's nothing wrong with that. He's one of the top three players in the world.
Okay, we're getting some feedback here, so let me stop that. Let me stop that. All right. Didn't go as smoothly as I would have liked that shit to go, right? But basically, Stephen A. Smith took it upon himself to talk about Kevin Durant being a weak player for going to the Golden State Warriors, man, and he made it so much about him. And a lot of it really was the fact that Kevin Durant and Stephen A. Smith have a history. Stephen A. went out on a limb and said that Kevin Durant was going to the Lakers. He was wrong. Kevin Durant came out and said that none of his people actually talked to Stephen A. And Stephen A. actually came out and said, hey, you don't want to make an enemy out of me, right? So for Stephen A. Smith to make that kind of, let's go ahead and switch that back. For Stephen A. Smith to kind of make that sort of proclamation on live TV, and it was replayed a lot, and we talked about it here on the show months ago when it happened. For Stephen A. Smith to go ahead and do that, man, it's like he's not able to be objective in his analysis of the game. He's not able to be objective in his analysis of the business decisions of these players and of the league. It's become personal for him. And so, like, every time I listen to this dude now, I'm just like, all right, man, he think he bigger than the players he's covering. He think he's bigger than most of the people in the media. He talks about him being a journalist, and you can't impugn his integrity and everything. It's like, nah, bro, like, you too big time, man. Like, you just think everything revolves around you. The story isn't about you. It's about these players, and you should be covering these players. We shouldn't necessarily be worrying so much about how you feel about this shit. Right. So I would add Stephen A. Smith to the ass hat of the week. But we got some other ass hats more worthy this week of the ass hat of the week award. So we're going to get to that a little bit later. But yeah, man, NBA free agency, Kevin Durant Going to the Golden State Warriors. They'll probably win the championship. Niggas is mad. And honestly, I'm just like happy he made a decision for himself. And I kind of hope the Golden State Warriors win. I know y'all like flipping y'all heads and shit. Like, what the fuck is wrong with this dude? Last week he was geeked that the Cleveland Cavs won. But I'm hoping that Kevin Durant and the Warriors win this year simply because some of y'all, so many of y'all are so pissed off at the decision. Real talk. That's pretty much how I feel about it. That's how I feel about it, right? So, yeah, that's enough about the basketball. And it's hot as shit in here, and I want to turn my damn AC on, but that would be, like, all in the mic. All right. Now, another thing happened this week. And I want to speak to it, right? We saw two brothers gunned down by police, right? We saw Alton Sterling, who was pinned down by two officers outside of a store and shot six times. And then we also saw a woman live streaming right here on Facebook Live the death of her boyfriend, Philando Castile. And, you know, we've been having these discussions, man. It seems like it's going on 2 years now. At least, like, it's a sustained thing for about 2 years when it comes to Black Lives Matter and, you know, the overreach of police, the police brutality that we've been experiencing and the deaths that we've seen on camera, the, like, everything, like, this stuff is happening, and we're seeing so much more of it, and it can be so draining, right? Like, you kind of have to turn away sometimes, right? And part of the reason why I didn't even bother to, like, put the, I didn't put the Philando Castile killing on, you know, my page. I did share the original video of Alton Sterling being killed. But I don't know if I will do that ever again. And part of the reason why is because we are inundated with this sort of imagery, man. And some of it is gratuitous. Some of it is not done with, informing. A lot of it is just like, hey, look at this. And some of it is, hey, I want to be the first to share this, right? And you think about how these men were killed, man. And everybody's watching it. It's like a snuff film. Everybody's watching it. The world is watching it. And it's like you disregard the family and how they are feeling and what they must be going through to see their loved one being killed on a continuous loop, right? I think about that. The son of Alton Sterling, as his mother was doing a press conference and speaking about what happened to him, and that kid just breaking down, not being able to stand it. 15 years old, man. Those are real people in those videos, man. It's not like an abstract thing. There are real consequences behind that. So I made a conscious decision not to share any. Like, I'm trying not to share any of those videos anymore. I won't share them. Out of respect for those families. And it kind of pissed me off to see, like, the New York Daily News choose a picture of Alton Sterling bleeding out with a cop pointing his gun at him as he bled out, as their front page, full page, out on display. Now, I know a lot of people will say, well, now you got to shock these people into seeing what's going on, man. You know, these people need to know and all this other stuff. It's like, you know what? Yeah, there's a balance there. But I'm quite sure a lot of those folks who are reading that New York Daily News have probably also seen the video and didn't need a full page, front page display of Alton Sterling laid out bleeding to death. Thought it was a bit much. And I said so. I said, fuck you to the New York Daily News. You know? Philando Castile. is a story that kind of hits home with me, right? Here's a man who is licensed to carry a concealed firearm, as am I. Here's a man who is trying to go about doing things the right way, who gets pulled over by the police for, you know, busted taillight, right? And he winds up being shot 4 times with his woman, baby in the car. And he's trying to do it the right way. So when I hear people talking about, you know, black on black crime and, you know, all you got to do is comply, and he was complying. He was informing the officer that I'm licensed to carry a concealed weapon. My gun is in the car with me. I'm reaching for my wallet so I can show you my license and registration. And he got shot 4 times. Doing the right thing. That's scary. Because how do you explain to anybody after that, that even doing the right thing can get you killed with the police? How do you explain that to anybody? How does anyone try to explain that away? As they all want to do, right? Because you got a lot of folks who just simply don't believe that police brutality is a thing. You got a lot of folks who simply believe that black people are just making this shit up as we go along. You got a lot of people who just refuse or just are oblivious to what's really going on when it comes to policing in this country, when it comes to how police interact with minorities in this country. It's scary, man. As someone who carries a gun every day, it's scary. I thought about an incident that happened with me and the police. I want to say about 3 or 4 years ago. And this happened, I want to say it was in Ypsilanti, Michigan. And I was following my girlfriend at the time, who's my wife now. I was following her somewhere. I forget exactly where it was, but she ran through a light. It was like a yellow light when she went through. And I'm following her and don't really know where I'm going. So I go through the light to keep up with her. And I got pulled over, right? And at the time, I used to drive with my gun and a holster. I had like a seat holster. So my gun used to sit right in between my legs while I drove. So I'd have access to it if anything should ever happen, right? And I got pulled over. And I don't know what it was in my head that clicked and said, maybe I should take this gun out of this holster and tuck it under the seat, right? Now, of course, the police, you know, they walk up to the car. Both of them got their hands on their weapons. And they asked me, what was I tucking under the seat? Now, I told them, I said, well, officer, I'm licensed to carry a concealed firearm. My weapon is in the car with me. I tucked it under the seat so that you wouldn't perceive it as a threat. Right? And it made, like, listening to and watching what happened to Philando Castile, it made me shudder to think what could have happened that night had I not tucked that gun under the seat. Right? Scary to think what could have happened that night in Ypsilanti. Scary. So, I don't know, man. Like, I really don't know what to do, how to explain it away, how to make anybody understand that when I and other black people see the police, we don't get a comforting feeling. That's not what we get. Some of our assholes pucker up. We get butterflies in our stomachs, not the good ones. We're sweaty. We're nervous, and most of the times we haven't done shit. Nothing. Philando Castile was doing nothing. Alton Sterling was shot 6 times in the chest for a gun that he did have, but he had no means of getting to. You got one officer kneeling on one of his arms and another officer is holding his right hand as they're saying he has a gun. It's almost like that call out, like, stop resisting, stop resisting. Like, nigga, when they're not resisting? To justify what you're about to do to them because you know you're being recorded. So, I'm at a loss, man. Like, I don't know how many times we can keep going through this whole thing of, you know, the police, you know, gunning people down with impunity. And one of the things, man, like that's really irritating is when we talk about, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and folks talking about how Black Lives Matter movement, you know, they don't speak for me. And the Black Lives Matter movement, they don't do nothing but disrupt shit. And the Black Lives Matter movement just caused me some inconvenience. Like, yo, man, the Black Lives Matter movement is standing up for people who done lost their damn lives. I'm sorry if you're inconvenienced at this moment. I'm sorry. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. And I hate that feeling of not knowing, right? You hate that feeling, like, of not being able to convey what you feel and get people to understand what you feel. And they get it. And then we can get some shit done. Because right now, you can express how you feel, but people ain't really trying to get how you feel. People are trying their hardest to tell you how wrong you are. They'll tell you you're imagining the shit that you're experiencing. They'll tell you you're focusing on the wrong shit. Right? Black on black crime. What about how y'all doing it? Y'all doing each other in the hood? Like, I saw so much of this shit this week, and it made me sick. Like, y'all so worried about what's going on with these police and white folks, but we kill each other in the hood every day. They're like two totally different fucking issues, man. Two totally different issues. You gonna, like, and I've seen this, and it's an outstanding analogy. If ISIS were, you know, ISIS killing Americans, and ISIS said, well, you know what, we wouldn't kill Americans if y'all respected each other. If it wasn't for that American on American crime, man, ISIS wouldn't be fucking with y'all. It's a really stupid argument to bring up black on black crime at a time when the police are the topic of discussion, which is why I've always said it's a distraction. It will continue to be a distraction. It will always be and will continue to be a stupid ass argument to bring up during times like this. It just is. It's not to say that black on black crime isn't an issue. Crime, period, is an issue. But if the only time that black on black crime is brought up when some shit happens between black people and the police are shown to be overreaching in their authority, then it's a bullshit argument. You're only using it to try to shut the, you know, to shut down any critique or any examination as to why these police are behaving the way that they are. It's a distraction. It's a way to deflect that argument. And you know it when you employ it, which is why I don't really let that shit slide. And it suggests that black folks don't give a damn about each other. It suggests that black folks don't put forth any effort whatsoever to combat a lot of the inner city crime that they are dealing with. Black folks are mainly the only ones who are combating that? Who are putting forth initiatives to combat that? Who are out here volunteering to combat that? It's mainly black folks. So every time I see that argument being brought up, man, it's irritating as fuck because it's a distraction and you know it. And I've seen so many people make that argument this week. The self-loathing that it takes to think that what's happening with black people and the police is deserved because black people have a problem with crime. Especially when it comes from black folks. That sort of self-loathing is maddening to watch. And I hate seeing it this week. I really did. I hated seeing it this week. So, yeah. And then on top of that, you get word today that another brother was shot and killed in Houston. Right? Another brother shot and killed in Houston today. And it's like, what the fuck? You know, the biggest problem that black people have with, you know, police isn't so much that, well, let me rephrase that. Because black people do have a problem with the police. I think people willfully misunderstand the Black Lives Matter movement because it would require them to make some changes that they really aren't prepared to make. It would require them to think about things that they really aren't prepared to think about. It would require them to admit shit that they really aren't ready to admit. Right? So, at the end of the day, when it comes to these movements, it's all about accountability and holding officers accountable. If the officers who were on video shooting Alton Sterling are convicted of the murder that they committed on video, then I think black folks would have a pretty satisfactory reaction to that. I think black folks would say, okay, the system worked. Because that's how it works, right? You see something on video, you see a crime on video, and a lot of times, if it's us doing some shit on video, oh, they got this motherfucker on tape. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Y'all saw Menace to Society, man. You remember when Old Dog and what's my man's name? Kane. Old Dog and Kane did that robbery in the liquor store. And I forget what's his name's character in that movie, but he dropped that tape to the police. They needed that tape for the conviction, right? They had all the circumstantial evidence, but they needed that tape for the conviction. You know how many times you see on surveillance videos, like they show surveillance video on news and they're showing somebody breaking into a store or somebody, you know, robbing a bank, and they show you the surveillance video. And if you catch that person that's in the videotape doing the shit that's in the videotape, then that person usually goes to fucking jail. So it makes no sense to a lot of folks to watch the police gun somebody down in a way that they didn't have to, and then you got to have a discussion as to why what I just saw wasn't what the fuck I just saw. You're going to try to explain this shit away to me. So it works that I can watch somebody rob a bank on a videotape and you finally catch up with this motherfucker and y'all lock his ass up. But if I watch the police gun somebody down while they already got him pinned down and they pump 6 slugs into him, now I got to hear this damn discussion as to why what he did might have been all right? Fuck out of here. Where y'all getting this logic from? That's the problem that a lot of folks have with the police, man. Ain't no war on the motherfucking cops. That's the problem that folks have with the police. Ain't no fucking accountability for them. In much the same way that y'all hold us accountable for when we out here fucking up. The police don't get held accountable for shit. Not a goddamn thing. And part of the problem, man, And I said this earlier this week too, man. It's not enough fucking police officers standing up and calling out the folks who are wearing blue right along with them, calling that shit out, holding them accountable, making them afraid to fuck up in that way, right? You got police who watched that Alton Sterling shooting and couldn't say that he was even a problem. That couldn't say whether there was a mistake made. And you hear all the time about all these good cops, man. A lot of you, if it's so many of y'all, man, y'all quiet as shit. We don't know y'all. We don't know y'all. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all too fucking quiet, man. If it's so many of y'all, if it's so many fucking good cops, why y'all so goddamn quiet? Why y'all letting the minority run y'all shit? Why? It makes no sense, man. None. So, all of this shit happens over the course of this week. And then you hear that 11 cops get shot. Five of them die. And if you've listened to this show for any length of time, on the intro to this podcast, I say, you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas aren't mutually exclusive. That's been a part of the intro to this show for over a year now. You want cops to be held accountable for when they fuck up. You don't want people out here gunning for the police. And so, I know a lot of folks are pissed off, they're upset, they're angry, they're frustrated, they feel like they're not being heard. But that ain't it. That ain't the way to do it. And no, this isn't no kumbaya shit or nothing like that. No. It's right and wrong, man. Right and fucking wrong. I hated to hear that 12 police officers, 11 police officers were shot. I hated to hear that five officers were killed. I hated to hear that. The sad part about it is that I understood. Right? That's what's sad about this shit. I understood. You don't want that shit to happen. But I understood. And that's scary. So, when I do this show, I try to be as transparent and I try to be as honest and I try to be as forthcoming as I can be. And I hated to hear that five officers were gunned down to the point that they lost their lives, 11 of them shot altogether. I hated to hear it. As much as I have a certain level of distrust, as much as I try my damnedest not to depend on them for shit, as much as I don't rely on them for my safety, I hated to hear that 11 officers, five of them dead, were shot this week. Hated to hear. So, yeah, man. Yeah. It's been a real tough week, man. Like to watch and to listen and to see all of these things, man, kind of core just pop up in one big ass fucking melting pot of fucked upness. Yeah, man, it's been a tough week, man. We're coming up on our segments, man. And we're going to get into our ass hats this week, man. Uh-oh. God damn it, where is it?
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
All right, now, our ass hats this week. Now, normally, with the ass hat of the week segment, man, we would do a... we would do one ass hat a week, right? But you know what? I decided I'm going to do something a little bit different this week, right? So I decided that there was going to be a ass hat hall of shame, right? And I'm going to continue to do the ass hat of the week. But there are going to be a special subset of motherfuckers who have found themselves inducted into the ass hat hall of shame lifetime. Right, these are lifetime inductees. Like anytime you see their name, just know they are known for saying some really dumb, stupid shit. Right? So hold on, how the hell did I not have this pulled up? Hold on, just a second, people. Let me pull this up. Damn it! There we go. Okay, let's go there. And we're slowing to a crawl again. Yay! I guess. Wait. Okay, here we go. All right, now we're all set up now, right? So, we got to do this right. If we're going to induct these people into the Spam Report Ass Hat Hall of Shame, these are lifetime inductees. We got to do this right. So, without further ado, let's get this started. All right. Okay, right now we have Sheriff David Clark. Sheriff David Clark is the sheriff of Milwaukee County in Wisconsin. He makes regular appearances on Fox News whenever there's a police overreach and protests surrounding police overreach and police brutality. He's going on record to call the Black Lives Matter movement garbage and subhuman. Sheriff Clark has also said this.
Well, first of all, there is no police brutality in America. We ended that back in the 60s. So I don't know where they're coming from. You look at the data and the research, and there's a new Harvard study out that shows that there is no racism in the hearts of police officers. They go about their daily duty, if you will, to keep communities safe.
Sheriff David Clark, you are a lifetime inductee to the Ass Hat Hall of Shame. But you're not alone. You are not alone. We have up next Tommy Lauren. You guys may know Tommy. Tommy is a talking head, and she's a host over at the Blaze's Final Thought, right? Which is also a media company that was started by Glenn Beck, who is a former Fox News host. Tommy Lauren she's one of those people who's always offended at the thought that black people don't see America as great as a place she does, right? And she has a totally warped view and misinformed view, really, of race relations in America. And she revels in the fact that she knows that what she says is negative and that she'll receive a lot of attention for that negative attitude that she has, right? So, Tommy has also said this.
What rights black people don't have. Also, white people, yeah, we do have a record of critique of your oppression. In fact, you know how many of our ancestors fought in the Civil War to free your ancestors?
Tommy Lauren has a special, special, special way of viewing history. Tommy Lauren, you are a lifetime inductee into the Spam Report Ass Hat Hall of Shame. But they're not alone. We also have Larry Elder. Now, you guys may have heard about Larry Elder last week. My homie Wendell Tucker, man, gave this dude the business on Twitter last week. And Larry Elder is a conservative talk show host, and he's also an author, right? He wrote the book, Stupid Black Men and How to Play the Race Card. He's also a regular at Fox News, and he brings up black-on-black crime whenever he can when talking about the Black Lives Matter movement. Larry Elder also said this.
It's a good question. I tweeted that. Why are they interrupting speeches by Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and Martin O'Malley? Why don't they come down to Compton or South Central, where I grew up, and confront the Bloods and the Crips and MS-13? Get in their faces and chant Black Lives Matter. Maybe that'll have some sort of effect.
Larry Elder, you have earned your place with the least in the Span Report Asshat Hall of Shame. Lifetime membership, buddy. Lifetime membership. But again, they're not alone. Stacey Dash. Yep. Stacey is a former G-list celebrity, movie star, played in the movie Clueless. We found out later that she was really clueless in real life, right? Now, Stacey has went from being a clueless movie star to a Republican, conservative, quote-unquote conservative, commentator on Fox News. We first knew that she was conservative when she came out in 2012 with the endorsement of Mitt Romney for the presidency. And she says that white folks, she says really what white folks want to say, but they would be seen as racist if they said it. So they usually trot Stacey Dash out and let her say it for them, right? We know Stacey from saying this.
We have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. And if we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards and the Image Awards, where you're only awarded if you're black. If it were the other way around, we would be up in arms. It's a double standard. Just like there shouldn't be a Black History Month. You know, we're Americans, period. That's it.
Stacey Dash, you are an Asshat Hall of Shame lifetime inductee. Congratulations. But that's not it. Meet Joe Walsh. You guys may have been very familiar with Joe Walsh this week. Joe Walsh was the foolish asshat motherfucker who went out on Twitter and threatened the President of the United States. That's him, right? Joe Walsh is a former congressman out of Illinois, former Tea Party Republican congressman out of Illinois. How the fuck did that happen, right? Joe Walsh has questioned the employment status and hygiene habits of Black Lives Matter members for over a year. And he also insisted that Obama and the Black Lives Matter movement are now engaged in a war against law enforcement. Here's what Joe Walsh had to say about the Black Lives Matter movement.
Here's what I believe. I believe that these Black Lives Matter folk, I believe they're just, they're unemployed. Protesters, they don't work and they don't shower. Next. These Black Lives Matter people, protesters, I think are just angry, socialist, America-hating, racist. And I don't know if they shower or not.
Joe Walsh, you are an asshat. Hall of Shame, lifetime inductee. Congratulations on your dickheadness. So yeah, man, there you have it. The 2016 Hall of Shame, wait, asshat Hall of Shame here at the 2016. Ah, fuck, I'm messing this up. The 2016 Asshat Hall of Shame class, and I fucked that up again. But fuck it. They're in there. They're all asshats. They will be lifetime members of the Asshat Hall of Shame. Congratulations to them all. Yeah, man. All right. We do have a champ this week, though.
The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
Now, this week's champ of the week is Officer Nakia Jones. Officer Jones was the officer who went on Facebook Live and she spoke out against the police brutality that we saw with Alton Sterling. Now, I wanted to play that video, but I'm having some technical difficulties over here with the audio when I do play the video, so I don't want to really get you guys into hearing an echo and all these other things. I got to make sure I hash that out, right? But I think the sentiment that was expressed by Nakia Jones needs to be expressed a lot more than just Nakia Jones. Officer Nakia Jones. Far too many times when something like what happens with Philando Castile, Alton Sterling, Walter Scott, we hear so many excuses made by those in law enforcement, made by those who want to back up law enforcement. So many excuses as to why this person deserved what happened to them in that moment. And I want to extend a sincere and heartfelt thank you to Officer Nakia Jones for what she said, because it was needed. And more officers need to step up and do exactly as she did. Don't tolerate that bullshit amongst your ranks. Don't condone it. When you sit to the side and allow this sort of shit to happen and fester, and you don't say anything, you're kind of complicit, and you're part of the problem. You're part of the problem because it allows it to continue. And so for Officer Nakia Jones to go on her Facebook Live and to be as passionate as she was and to be as forthright as she was and to be unapologetic in how she felt, man, I felt like Officer Nakia Jones was the Spam Report champ of the week this week, man. I hate that I can't play the video because of these technical difficulties that we're doing. We kind of dealing with right now. But yeah, Officer Nakia Jones is definitely champ of the week here at the Spam Report. Thank you so much, sister. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everything you do in your neighborhood. Thank you. Thank you so much for what you did and what you said. Real talk. But it's time for me to get out of here. Time for me to roll. Right? So before I get out of here, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spam Report. Let your voice be heard, man. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them here on the show and respond to you here on the show as well. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. Follow me on both of those. We can chop it up like that, right? Also, send me an email. All your emails get read here on the show, man. Emails, feedback@thespamreport.com. That's feedback@thespamreport.com. Leave those emails, and of course, I will read them right here, man. Real talk. Also, iTunes and Stitcher. Go to iTunes and Stitcher. Leave a 5-star review. Preferably, those 5-star reviews will get read here on the show as well. Also, go to www.thespamreport.com. You can subscribe to the show there. You can watch the show there. You can vote in the polls there. You can donate money to the show there. Anything you need, anything Spam Report related, is available at thespamreport.com. And go there for all of your Spam Report needs, man. And for those of you who would like to catch these shows live, go to Facebook, like that Mr. Spam fan page, and every time I go live, you'll be alerted. And you can watch right there from Facebook, right from wherever you at, right there on your phone, right there at your computer, wherever. You can like it, you can watch it, and we can get, you know, we can do what we do here, right? Yeah, man, but it's time for me to get out of here, man. I appreciate y'all listening to me. I appreciate everybody that was in the chat watching, man. And I'll talk to you guys again, man. So until next time, fam, peace.